This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey everyone, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Claudia Wu.
And I'm Carrie Diamond.
And we're the founders of Cherry Bomb, the indie magazine about women and food. Today's show is brought to you by Ecole Chocolat, the online school for those looking to become chocolate makers or chocolate experts. If you have a day job but fantasize about having your own chocolate company, Ecole Chocolat lets you study at your own pace, helping you make that dream a reality. Be sure to check out the site at ecolechocolat.com.
How are you doing, Claudia?
I'm good today. We're actually live, which is
Which is fun. We haven't done a live show in a little while. Speaking of chocolate, we were kind of fighting about chocolate this morning.
Yes.
We're working on the next issue of the magazine, issue 7, and we haven't killed each other yet. It's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
As Martha Stewart would say, it's a good thing.
We're both alive and kicking.
But it's going to be a great issue, and we're excited for everyone to finally see it. It should be out... End of April?
Hopefully.
Early May?
Spring, summer. That's what it says on the cover.
2016. You will see it in 2016. That's the good news. So the term overnight sensation is pretty overused, but in the case of our next guest, it's legit. When the restaurant By Chloe opened last year, there were lines down the block the very first day. New Yorkers love to line up for things, but this was a surprise to everyone involved because By Chloe is a fast, casual, vegan cafe specializing in vegan mac and cheese, veggie burgers, quinoa tacos, and the like. And the chef is a 28-year-old relative unknown. She never staged at NoMa. She doesn't count any major chefs as her mentors, and she hasn't won any of the major industry awards her colleagues breathlessly chase. But she did win when she competed in the Cupcake Wars on the Food Network 4 years ago, and she did snag the Chef of the Year award from PETA. Now, 3 cookbooks later, she has her successful cafe, and 2 more By Chloe locations are under construction in New York City. You still have those who roll their eyes at the term vegan, but you can't deny there's a vegan army in America today, gaining in strength and size, and Chloe Coscarelli is leading the charge. We have Chef Chloe with us today to talk about all of this and more. Chloe, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're super excited you're here.
Yes.
Yeah. We've really been looking forward to the show. So thanks for making the trek out to Bushwick to hang out with us.
Great. Yeah, this is fun.
And we had our great little pre-show chat, and I didn't ask you if we're pronouncing your name correctly. Coscarelli?
Yep, you got it. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So where do we even start?
Yeah. So Chloe, you're from LA. How did you first get into food? Through cupcakes?
Well, my mom was always a great cook growing up. So because of that, I didn't have much incentive to get in the kitchen because I just like to eat whatever she made. So it wasn't until I actually turned vegan that it was, you know, it was a bit different back then. I was younger. It was about over 10 years ago. And I realized that I need to figure out how to put food on the table.
So how old were you when you made the decision?
I was like 16.
Was there a reason? Yeah.
Yeah. I had always grown up with dogs, lots of adopted dogs, and I loved animals. And then I saw animals on my dinner plate. And I think at a young age, it's easier to make that connection and say, you know, is this necessary? And because my mom was such a great cook, she actually, like, took all of her old non-vegan recipes, and we started veganizing them together, and it was great. I mean, it was really fun. We loved cooking together, and that's when I really gained a strong interest in cooking.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have an older brother.
Mm-hmm. And was he in the house when you made this decision?
He was. He actually wanted nothing to do with it. And he was like, you guys are all going crazy. I still want a turkey at Thanksgiving. You know, I still want to eat burgers. He really held out. And then it was strange, like just a couple years later, I think he saw what we were doing in the kitchen and what we were eating. And he was growing curious about it and enjoying tasting what we were doing. And then one day he just said, I'm going to go vegan cold. and we're like, okay, that's funny. Or maybe why don't you try being vegetarian first and see if you like it? Like, you know, let's not be so drastic here. He was like, nope, I'm going vegan. And now he's been vegan ever since.
That was nice of you as a little sister to not run around the block going, I won, you know, to tell him that maybe take it gradually and not be so drastic.
Yeah, because, I mean, my whole theory on, you know, vegan cooking anyways is that it doesn't have to be an all or nothing effort. I think people really get caught up in the labels, and I think that's the biggest roadblock to change in the future, because it's like you're either vegan or you're not vegan.
Yeah, I remember when I was in college, those, like, straight edge kids, like...
Right.
So hardcore, but I was like, you're not healthy. You're eating like falafel and like chips all day.
Yeah.
It's vegan, but you know, I think, you know, the way your food is, it's like, you know, it's something that you can do every day and not feel like you're missing anything.
Right. And I also hear a lot of people say, I would be vegan, but I love cheese too much, or I love bacon. That doesn't mean you can't start cooking a little bit vegan, try it once a week. I like to see it as any other cuisine.
But your parents were supportive, which I think is a big hurdle for a lot of young people.
Definitely. My parents were very supportive. They never, you know, gave me the protein talk or anything like that. And my parents love food. I come from a family that loves food. So to say that I want to start trying a different kind of food is like, great. We eat food in any forms in this family. So, you know, bring it on.
And we have to ask you about your dad. We were looking at your Wikipedia page, and your dad makes horror films?
He does, yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So you could have easily become, like, a Hollywood director,
it's funny,
or something.
Our brands are very different, but, you know, we cross paths a lot. We're both, you know, pursuing our creative passions, and I think, you know, he's been so supportive, and just being in a house watching him grow up, and especially as he, you know, makes independent films, so bringing the whole family into the business, doing whatever it takes to, you know, to fulfill his dreams, has been a good role model for me.
All right, but you have to tell us, what was that like, having a dad who made movies like that? Because most of us have dads who have boring jobs.
Yes.
My dad worked in, like, telecommunications, Claudia's dad.
Eye doctor,
yeah.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, it seemed so normal to me that we had a hearse in our backyard, and that our house turned into a full-blown haunted house on Halloween that everyone lined up for around the block. You know, motion-activated monsters in our hallways, a sign that says Haunted Mansion on the front of our house. When my friends come over, I'd be like, this isn't normal. You guys don't have this, too? Everyone else thought it was really cool. I was like, it's normal.
So you grew up in Los Angeles, and that is such a hotbed of healthy eating today. I mean, so many of the trends that we think are important trends are coming out of that state, that city, et cetera. Did that impact you, do you think, in terms of your approach to food?
Definitely. I mean, I do think in California, there is such an emphasis on, you know, simple and freshness and, you know, where whatever you're eating comes from. So, of course, I definitely take my love of avocados from California. I'm kind of have an avocado obsession. But I think that, you know, it's different from New York in that it's really about the food in LA. And I think a lot of the chefs there, there's more of an energy around, like, the trends and the, you know, the atmosphere, and I think there it's all kind of just put a little bit more simply. So we like to think of By Chloe as kind of like a cross between California and New York inspiration, because, you know, both cities have so much inspiration to offer from a food side. So we try to keep things clean and fresh, but also kind of switch it up and keep it interesting.
We talked about you being an overnight sensation, but I think the reality is it really wasn't overnight. But I'm fascinated because you have this amazing place in New York. Like, why didn't you open it in LA? You know, it seems kind of like more natural fit over there. But, you know, how did you get to this place that you are right now?
The energy in New York is really inspiring as a chef, and I think it's everyone's dream to open a restaurant in New York City. It just has a certain, you know, inspiration behind it, but I think that New Yorkers are crazy. They will line up in 20-degree weather for food. They will wait for food. They will travel far and wide to try something interesting. I think it's, like, the most open-minded population when it comes to food. There's that in LA too, but it's just a more, like, laid back approach.
When did you know you wanted to be a chef?
It was gradual. You stumped me. It was gradual. I mean, I think it was probably in college. I was studying at Berkeley. All my friends were heading to law school and med school and, you know, really on professional paths. And I was kind of at a crossroads. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I enjoyed studying, but I realized that if I had to pull an all-nighter studying for an exam, that was really tough on me. But then I would easily spend two nights with zero sleep working on my roommate's birthday cake. And it was like, you know, this doesn't feel like work to me, so I'm going to go after it.
I'm guessing you weren't the only vegan at UC Berkeley.
I wasn't. Yeah, I definitely had some awesome vegan friends there, and we would do crazy things on the weekend. We would do vegan tempura parties.
We would do vegan brunch parties. That's not everyone's definition of crazy in college, though, Chloe. You know that. What was your first professional food job?
So I was working at a Hostess at my favorite vegan restaurant when I was a student at Berkeley. And I just thought that was like the greatest job ever. Why would anyone do anything else? You get a free vegan meal and you get to be around people eating vegan food. It was so much fun. And I think that's where I realized like I was really just enjoyed being in restaurants, mostly vegan restaurants. I'm not sure that I would have that passion outside of vegan restaurants, but seeing customers come in and, you know, be so excited about their food, that's something you get at vegan restaurants that you don't necessarily get everywhere else.
How did you transition to the kitchen?
It was actually
from that host stand.
Yeah, it was the summer before my senior year of college, and I didn't have any culinary training, but I, you know, all my friends were getting internships, and so I decided, you know, I want to get an internship. I'll call up a pastry chef in San Francisco at my favorite, the nicest vegan restaurant, Millennium. And I called her up and I said, you know, can I come help in the kitchen? And she was like, no, we don't do that. So I actually went and showed up and I was like, you know, I really just want to help this summer. Like, I'm just going to work for free. And she was like, what's your background? I was like, nothing. I make cakes for my friends, but I promise they're good. And she was like, okay, you can, you know, cut these strawberries for like 2 hours and we'll see if it's a fit. So I was like really carefully focusing on cutting the strawberries as perfect as I could. And she was like, okay, sure. You can work here this summer. So I just interned and it was great. Learned so much.
Okay, so the leap from Berkeley to New York and Natural Gourmet Institute, where you went to culinary school.
So in that kitchen that I was interning, all the chefs there had come from Natural Gourmet Institute. So my mom actually planned a trip where we came out to New York and we toured the school. And it was great. I mean, I fell in love with New York. My mom and I fell in love with the school. It was like, it just felt right.
So it feels like all the hot kids have gone to Natural Gourmet Institute.
Hot girls with vegan, vegetarian-friendly restaurants went to Natural Gourmet Institute.
Right. Who are some of the alums there?
Probably one of my favorites is Amanda Cohen from Dirt Candy.
We love Amanda.
Yeah. She's done so well. You know, there's... It's funny, like a lot of people, even just in the food industry, you're talking to them and they're like, oh yeah, and I also happen to have a degree from Natural Gourmet. I think people go there when they have a really strong passion for health and food. So a lot of people just do it to supplement whatever else they're doing because they love it so much.
And who else? Alyssa from Dimes?
Alyssa Wagner from Dimes.
Mm-hmm. Is it a I mean, I know you don't have anything else to compare it to, but people ask us a lot about culinary school these days. Like, is it worth to go? Is it not? For you, did you learn a lot of the fundamentals? Was it like a traditional culinary school in that sense?
It was. It was really tough, really trying at times, but totally worth it. It definitely pushed me to be, you know, a way better student of cooking than I probably could have done on my own. That being said, I don't think it's necessary to go to culinary school. I'm sure this question is also different if you're pursuing vegan, vegetarian cooking or traditional. For vegan, vegetarian cooking, I think because there's just less out there right now, to go to a school where you can be so inspired and learn, you know, really learn from people that have their finger on the pulse of this changing cuisine, I think that's very worthwhile to me. In a traditional kitchen, maybe you can learn the same in the kitchen versus school. Not sure.
But you did get your butt kicked a little at school?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us, what does that entail?
What was the hardest thing about
school? We never went to culinary school, so tell us.
Oh.
I think about it, but I haven't gone yet.
It's really fun. I mean, you know, there were so many different exercises, but I remember, you know, I remember the good and the bad. I remember once having an exam with a soup and serving it to the instructor, and she just wrote one feedback back, and it was like, I don't know, cloyingly sweet or salty or something had gone totally wrong. I remember just like crying a little bit, but then I did well on my apple tart. So it's kind of like, you know, give and take a little.
How long was that program?
The program was, I did a full-time program, so that was 6 months. Highly recommend it because you're really just immersed completely in what you're learning about, and it was very, very focused.
So what did you do after you graduated?
After I graduated, I wasn't so sure what I was going to do, but I'd always decided that I was just going to go to culinary school because I liked it, and my mom pushed me to do it, you know, regardless of what the outcome was. So that was actually when I went on Cupcake Wars, and I, yeah.
How do you just go on Cupcake Wars? Don't you have to, like, audition and apply?
Yeah, I saw a casting call on Twitter, and I just showed up and brought my cupcakes, and it was great. They loved them, and they said to me, you know, sure, like, we'll cast you on the show. It was the first season.
And 4 years ago, vegan baking wasn't a huge thing. I mean, you had baby cakes, but aside from baby cakes, you know, there wasn't a lot going on.
It was far and few between. So, I mean, if you think there's at all a stigma now, it was certainly times 10 back then. But it's good because it gives you the opportunity to bring something new to the table. So it was a great way for me to really find my voice in the culinary scene and focus in on something that I really thought that I could do.
So you have a lot of cookbooks to your name. Did you get a cookbook deal because of Cupcake Wars? Is that how it worked?
Yeah, after I went on the show, a journalist for the New York Times had watched the episode with her daughter and was really intrigued by the concept of a vegan cupcake. And so she wrote an article about it in the health section. And then from there, I got some interest from publishers, and I'd always wanted to write a cookbook. I mean, I had been like preparing my cookbooks, you know, through college for years before that, especially with all the recipes from my mom that we had, you know, taken and made vegan from our family of generations. So it was the perfect opportunity.
Because, yeah, you haven't had the typical chef path.
Right.
At all. So you did the TV show, you did the cookbooks, then you did the restaurant.
True,
Are we missing anything in between?
I mean, a lot of hard work, but yeah, that's basically the framework.
The first time I heard of you, I think I had gotten the press release from PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and I didn't know they had these annual awards, and they would pick the best food, the best chef, the best cookbook, all of this, and you were their chef of the year. And I was like, wow, it just really made me sit up and pay attention because I didn't, you know, as interested as I was in the vegan movement. From a journalist perspective, it was interesting to see PETA kind of put that stake in the ground and declare you their chef of the year.
Yeah, it's definitely changed now. I mean, now it's wonderful. Like, vegan chefs are getting so much more credibility.
Mm-hmm. So I read Sierra Tischgart did an interview with you in Grub Street in the New York Times, New York Magazine. Sorry, Sierra. And I was going to say, doesn't Chloe remind you of Sierra? Have you two met?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's really
nice.
She's
two could be sisters. You sound alike. You look alike.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So Sierra wrote that you literally just called up the restaurant group that you work with. Is that true?
It's true. It was like around New Year's Eve, and I was like, what's my resolution next year? You know, no gluten. No, that sounds horrible. You know, I couldn't think of anything. So I was like, I think I want to open a restaurant. And when I think of what I want to do, I like to do it fast before
you change your mind.
Yeah, before I change my mind, before, you know, the steam.
Or someone talks her out of it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, what's the fastest way possible to do this in the best possible way? And so I thought it'd be great to partner with a restaurant group that has experience in restaurants. And so I Googled, you know, best restaurant group, New York City, and I found my partners there.
And tell us about them.
So they're E-Squared Hospitality, and it's great because they have experience mostly in steak and seafood restaurants. And it was just so great how open-minded they were to vegan restaurants. So I think it was something that was totally new for them. Obviously, the restaurant industry was something that was totally new for me. So we could really learn from each other and build something.
How long was the process from that phone call or that email to actually opening the doors?
It was really long. It was maybe about 2 years. Yeah. And I was working on the recipes those whole 2 years. It's, you know, there's so much that goes into it.
Yeah,
on all fronts.
Yeah, I remember your branding in the location on Bleecker Street was up for a long time, and I kept being like, when is it opening?
Yeah, I own some restaurants, and opening a restaurant in New York City is one of the hardest things I've ever done that I think anybody could ever do. Tell us what the process was like. I mean, it's great that you had a partner, mm-hmm. of an actual restaurant group that knew what they were doing, but what were some of the highs and lows?
Absolutely. I mean, my partners are fantastic, and they, you know, they have so much experience in the full service restaurant industry, but fast casual was new to us all. So, you know, there was a lot we had to figure out in terms of how to make that work and, you know, really how to build that concept. But I think it was great because we had the framework for, you know, the experience and the vibe in a, I don't want to say real restaurant, but, you know, like a nicer fine dining restaurant. But then we decided that we wanted to serve it a little bit, you know, differently, more accessible and affordable. But yeah, the process was, you know, to be honest, like so much of everything becomes all a blur. But I mean, you know, there were tastings where, you know, everything was amazing and loved. And then there were tastings where the oven wasn't working or the, you know, the ice cream didn't freeze in the freezer or, you know, whatnot. So, I mean, in the kitchen, there's disasters left and right. That's, I think, just like an unavoidable part of the industry. But I think just like, you know, sticking to what the bigger picture is and getting past the day-to-day hurdles is the best way to do it.
The restaurant emerged so fully formed. You know, your
yes.
branding is amazing.
Branding's so cute. Yeah. I like to think of it as a Shake Shack for vegans.
The branding is great. The menu is fascinating. It doesn't seem like something brand new. It seems like something that's a concept that maybe has been around for a while, and the Village location is just your latest location. So how much of where'd all these ideas come from? Were they all your ideas? Was this a collaboration?
Yeah, it was a collaboration. And I think, you know, it ended up working to our advantage that we had so much time in terms of, you know, finding the right spot that it really gave us a lot of time to develop on the back end. So I worked with my partner at E-Squared Hospitality, Samantha Wasser, who specializes in branding and design. And then we worked with Dakar Design, who does restaurant interiors, and Paperweight Studios, who does branding. And it was just this amazing group of women. Everyone brought something so different to the table, and we all had such great ideas. So it was a great team. And I think, you know, we had the time. It was an amazing team. And everyone on the team was on the same page that we wanted to take risks and try stuff. And, you know, we didn't look to any other concepts to be like, you know, we're going to do something like this. We're like, let's just do whatever we want and make it different.
You're making it sound like opening a restaurant is not the hardest thing to do. I'm always talking people out of it. When people are like, oh, my dream is to open a restaurant, I'm like, oh God, do anything but that. But you seem like it was I cried through half of it.
I cry every single day. For the good and the bad, I'm crying through all of it. It's tough. I mean, you know, in terms of your personal life.
Forget it.
Forget it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm lucky that, you know, I have some great friends who've been very understanding, but, you know.
And you have pets.
No.
Your pets will always love you.
Yeah. They're home in California. But, they are the best thing to remind you what's really important. But yeah, it's hard to, like, you know, keep sleeping and taking good care of yourself. I think that's probably the most challenging. It's like you will push yourself as far as you could possibly go. And that's not really healthy. But we do it anyways.
Did you have any relief when it opened and, like, you know, everything was going well? Did you finally, like, take a break and be like, yes, I did something good?
That's when the hard stuff yeah. starts.
Well, but it was so well-received, you know. I'm sure there were, like, hiccups, as all restaurants have. But did you, like, take a moment for yourself and be like, okay?
That's so sweet. Not really. I mean, it's probably, you know, just as hard today as it was the day we opened and before that. I mean, even the development was grueling. So it's good. I mean, we're all, you know, everyone on my team is so motivated. So we're just looking ahead, but we keep pushing ourselves. But it was funny, on the day we first opened, I mean, I was really deliriously sleep deprived. I had been baking through the night for the past couple days. I didn't even know what my name was. And I was like baking downstairs.
Thank God it's on the sign outside. You can just
exactly.
walk outside and be reminded.
But my partner came downstairs and she was like, there's a line outside. And I was like, no, there's not. Stop it. And she's like, yes, there is. And I was like, you're lying to me. And there was a little line, and we were like, oh, my God, a line.
So you are a total hit with the NYU crowd.
Yeah, it was funny. We opened in summer, and business was great, and we thought it would stay steady. But then once NYU came back, it was just, like, even more than we ever really imagined. So, I mean, it's all good problems to have. It's a little overwhelming, but the students are amazing. I mean, I can relate so much to being, you know, wanting to eat healthier in college. And that's why I started cooking, really, because there wasn't as much out there. So to see so many, you know, young kids that are really excited about it and, you know, want to eat vegan, that's really cool.
So I had dinner there Monday night. And Alyssa, your manager, took really good care of me. She's dynamite.
She's the best manager ever.
I think we tried everything on the menu, but the standout for me was that beet burger. So literally made from beets. So you have to tell us what's in it. How'd you come up with that idea?
Awesome. So that's actually our Valentine's Day special. So it's our February burger of the month. And yeah, I was really just inspired by color for that one. Love pink. It's Valentine's Day, so I went a little crazy with the pink stuff on the menu. But we did a beet burger, which is made with beets and lentils and walnuts. And it's topped with a truffled basil aioli made from cashews, and then sautéed oyster mushrooms, which are known as an aphrodisiac, and then some pickled red onion for some more pink. And some kale, because I love kale. But the flavors of that one really just blended together nicely. Our feedback, everyone's telling us to keep it on the menu. So we'll see.
That was dynamite. The beet ketchup, I loved that. I've never had beet ketchup before. We had the quinoa taco salad.
Okay.
It was great. Ice cream with kale in it. Never had that before.
Yeah.
Tell us about that ice cream.
It's our most popular flavor. It was one of those things that took a long time to develop, but we did it fully knowing that it was going to be a hit or big miss. We're really surprised that people liked it as much as we did. But yeah, I love kale. I mean, it sounds cliche, but it really is my favorite vegetable, and I'd like to eat it with dessert.
And what else did we have? Trying to think what else we ate. There was something else I really liked. What else is on your menu?
We have fries, air-baked fries.
We have the air-baked sweet potatoes.
Okay, awesome. We have mac and cheese.
Did the mac and cheese, that was it.
Okay.
So how do you, I'm obsessed with mac and cheese.
Yeah.
How do you replicate the taste of the cheese with there being, obviously, no cheese in it?
So, you know, the intention, especially with everything we serve on our menu, is never really to replicate, because you're never going to win with that attitude. So what we're really trying to do is just create new flavors and new items that people enjoy. So for the mac and cheese, instead of using like a fake soy cheese, we make our own sauce. It's all natural, and it's just made from sweet potatoes and cashews. So it's pretty pure. But, you know, when you toss it with noodles, it's delicious, and it's yellow, and it's creamy, and it's cheesy. And then we top it with our crispy shiitake bacon.
Do you ever use that nutritional yeast? I see that in the supermarket all the time, and I never know what to do with that.
I do use nutritional yeast. My goal is to use it and not have anyone ever know that I'm using it. You can cross a line with it where people detect like an off taste, but if you use it the right amount, it's great. It has, you know, it's full of B vitamins. That's essentially what it is, and it has a very nutty, cheesy, earthy flavor and a beautiful bright yellow color. I love it.
How could you use that at home?
People sprinkle it on popcorn.
It's like instead of Parmesan cheese, you use nutritional yeast.
Yeah, you can use it. I mean, I throw it on any pasta that I make because why not?
All right.
Should we take a break?
Yes, we need to take a little break. We will be right back with Chloe Coscarelli of By Chloe. Do you love chocolate? Turn your passion into a profession with École Chocolat School of Chocolate Arts. This award-winning school offers many programs for chocolate making so you can master techniques and gain the expertise and business knowledge you need to become a professional chocolate maker. You'll create mouth-watering chocolate recipes from professional instructors while interacting with your classmates and tutors all online. Become a chocolate expert with École Chocolat via your computer, phone, or tablet. Pursue your passion for chocolate. Visit écolechocolat.com today. Hi, everybody. You're back with Radio Cherry Bomb. Sorry, we were chatting and not paying attention. David, how are you doing? We have a new engineer now. David.
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good, good. We forgot to mention you at the top of the hour, we're super psyched for you to join the Cherry Bomb family.
As am I. Thank you.
There aren't that many guys in the Cherry Bomb family, so welcome.
Thank you very much. Happy to be a part of it.
Great. So, Chloe, speaking of the Cherry Bomb family, when I was having dinner at By Chloe, it was like all girls. I looked around. I was like, oh, my gosh.
I think I was there at 3 p.m. one day on like a freezing cold day, and it was packed. And there are all these guys, and I was like, those guys don't look like they're vegan. And I realized they're the guys that when you don't want to go down to a restaurant, you call them and they'll stand in line for you and then deliver it to you. But I saw some guys in there when I was there, like, and you know, like the kids who were probably like on break or whatnot, who want to hang out with the cute vegan girls.
But the girls are behind you big time.
Yeah, we get a pretty good mix, but the girls are great.
Yeah. So tell us what's next for you.
So we're looking ahead to opening two new locations this year. The first one will be on 22nd Street. It's going to be our Flatiron location. So I'm really excited about that one because it's just one block from my culinary school, Natural Gourmet Institute. And I remember being a student and, you know, there are some days where you're just cooking sea vegetables all day. You still need lunch.
Claudia would love that class.
Do you love sea vegetables?
Oh, my God. Yes.
So
Carrie laughs at me all the time
I...
for eating seaweed, but...
You eat a lot of dried seaweed snacks.
I love seaweed. Yeah, it's the best. It's so good for you.
So what else? The new places. What else is in your world domination plan?
You know, we're really just trying to take it one step at a time. You know, my personal goal is to just show as many people as possible how delicious and fun and healthful vegan cooking can be, and try to beat down as many stigmas as possible. So it's great. I mean, we're learning every day. I mean, just, you know, talking to customers at the restaurant and seeing what people want more of, or, you know, what questions people have, that really kind of helps me plan out what my next step is.
Yeah, you mentioned the stigma. It's fascinating to me that the stigma still exists. I had mentioned to you I was speaking at a conference out in California last year, and Josh Tetrick, who's the founder of Hampton Creek and Just Mayo, that eggless mayo, I said to him, I noticed that you don't use the word vegan anywhere in your marketing. It's not on your website. It's not on your products. And he said, I would rather cut off my right arm than use the word vegan. And I was like, whoa, that's harsh. Why does that still exist? Why does it bug people?
It depends on the person and it depends on the industry. And it just depends on the perspective of the business. You know, for his case, I mean, I guess it depends who you're targeting as well. You know, vegan can be a foreign word and something that a lot of people maybe don't understand, or they remember eating a vegan cookie, you know, 3 years ago that tasted like cardboard. So they hear the word vegan and they're going to run. But then there are other companies that are embracing it. So I think it just depends on the perspective. I went to, over the holidays, I was walking around the mall and I went into the Tesla store. And I just walked into the store and was looking around, and the sales lady comes up and is like, and, you know, ask us about our vegan option. I was like, wow, that's
wait, at the Tesla store?
Tesla store, yeah, because they do a version of their car that's, it's like the first all vegan sports car, meaning that there's no leather on the interiors.
Is it cheaper?
That's a good question. Unfortunately, I wasn't planning on buying.
You're not in the market for a Tesla.
But hopefully someday I'll find out. I would love that.
But the world is definitely changing. I mean, we mentioned this earlier. I do think things are there will be a lot more people experimenting with vegan diets. Maybe they won't be, like you said, 100% vegan, but people will be eating more and more.
I feel like people are just more concerned about where their food comes from. Like, organic food wasn't so big, like, you know, that long ago, and now everyone wants like cruelty free, cage free, you know, pasture raised. So I think it'll get there.
I think also one of the things that fascinates me is this whole nut milk craze. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about it, just a few years ago, you couldn't get almond milk and cashew milk and macadamia nut milk on supermarket shelves. That's crazy. And all the space that's given over to those things now, not just the milks, but the yogurts. I mean, you've got Ben and Jerry's doing vegan ice cream.
Right.
Have you tried that yet?
I haven't been able to find it
yet.
It's
either.
It's coming. Yeah.
We need to call our friends at Whole Foods and see which Whole Foods it's stocked at. But I look every time I go in there, I'm dying to try it.
Yeah, definitely. Things are changing. It's great. I mean, I definitely believe that this is the way of the future. I feel very strongly about that. I think if I didn't, then I would be less motivated to do what I do. But, you know, even 10 years ago, you know, people said, oh, vegetarian or vegan option, that's just a trend. And then every single year, we continue to prove that it's here to stay.
Do you have any friends or heroes in the vegan movement?
Oh, I have a lot. Yeah. One of my best friends, Leanne Miley Hilgart, she's the first all vegan fashion designer to have her collection in New York Fashion Week. Her clothes are just amazing. And it's the same philosophy I like to take with my food, which is that her designs are great. The fact that they're vegan is just an afterthought. They're things that I want to wear. She makes, you know, coats and dresses and gowns. So, you know, it's so inspiring to see her create a product that's not just as good as regular clothing, but better.
Oh, and Stella McCartney.
Stella McCartney, too. Yes, right. Those bags are awesome.
That would be fun for you to do a collaboration with Stella one day.
Yeah.
How great would that be?
Speaking of collaborations, I saw that you're doing a guac burger dumpling with Mimi Chang's.
Yeah, we're so excited.
So you can only get it at Mimi Chang's, not at By Chloe, right?
Right. I'm really excited because I've just been hearing so much about Mimi Chang's and it's just totally blown up and those girls are amazing. But they haven't had a vegan option. And so the vegans are going to be flooding Mimi's.
They're also opening a second location on Broome Street soon. So,
oh, good for them.
Now you can get it at two places.
I remember when they opened.
We went and checked them out.
Oh, I'm happy they're doing well. Do you know Jessica Milan from Lookbook Cookbook?
Not personally.
We need to figure out a time when everybody's going to be in town and like get everybody together.
Yeah.
Jessica lives in Canada,
she lives
right?
in Canada, yeah. Yeah. I don't think we've met her yet.
No, not in person.
We've written about her a lot, but we haven't met her yet. Her cookbook is it's really great. It's very vegan 101, but I think it's sort of what you talked about. You know, you're in college, maybe you're trying to eat less meat, you're a vegetarian, a vegan, whatever. And if you don't necessarily know how to cook, yeah, you don't want to exist on pizza. Like, tell us again what you were eating when you were in college and became a vegetarian and became a vegan.
Right. Well, I was actually saying when I was younger, I first went vegetarian, not vegan. And when I was vegetarian, it was like, okay, vegetarian just means you take out the meat. So you eat cheese pizza, cheese lasagna, grilled cheese quesadilla, macaroni and cheese. And you're like, wait a minute, this isn't real food. And so it wasn't until I took that next step to being vegan that my eyes were open to this whole different type of cuisine. You know, suddenly I was introduced to different kinds of protein and grains and legumes and herbs and spices, and there was so much more creativity and color and energy in all of the meals. It was great. I never looked back.
And to jump ahead a little, we have to thank you because you're going to be at our Jubilee Conference on April 10th. You're coming for the very first time.
I am so excited. Couldn't get tickets last year. This is going to be my year.
Sorry about that. Well, at least you like jump right from attendee to participant.
Absolutely.
So you are in a great panel that we don't have a name for yet, but it's you, the gals from Dimes, Emma from Aquavit, Adrian from Red Rooster,
Angela from Mission.
Angela from Mission.
Chinese.
And it's a really interesting moment in New York right now that you've got all these amazing young women leading these kitchens that were kind of overnight sensations in a way. And again, you know, I don't use that word lightly, but all those places just got really hot really fast. And I think it's a different kind of kitchen pressure when not only do you just have the day-to-day keeping your head above water, keeping your guests happy, all of that, but you also have to deal with this outside pressure of the media paying attention, investors paying attention, like all these extra things.
Right. It's a lot of hats to wear, especially in one day. I know I just showed up for this radio show and you pointed out that I had my hairnet around my neck. but, you know, you're running from place to place, you're doing grunt work and you're in the kitchen and then you're meeting people and talking and trying to represent your company. So, yeah, it's a lot, but you're right. There's so many women doing it. And it's so wonderful that you bring everyone together. I'm very excited.
We're super happy because New York, excuse me, generally hasn't been considered that super hospitable to female chefs. I mean, we've been totally immersed in California for the past 6 months because that's what the next issue of our magazine is about. And that really is the promised land for women in the food world. Mm. I mean, there's so many incredible female chefs, so many people to be role models and up-and-comers and everything
totally.
In between. And we just haven't seen that in New York. So
just a few hours ago, I was in the kitchen and someone in a adjoining kitchen peeked their head in and said, "Are you the new intern?"
No.
And I said, "No."
Oh, I get that all the time.
But I mean, it's great. I mean, I was an intern. I have amazing interns. There's nothing wrong with interning, but it's just about roles.
It's about respect. Yeah, and like assumptions that people make.
Definitely.
From the way you look. I think that's true in any industry. And New York, I think, is tough on any industry. Just to live here, just to survive here,
absolutely.
Pay your rent.
But I mean, you know, it just hasn't been great for female chefs. Like the stars here, with a handful of exceptions, like Gabrielle and April, it's a guy's town.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a guy's world. Let's just admit it. Even
except in California. Except in California.
Yeah. And, you know, the kitchen is a tough environment. I mean, if you're a man giving orders in the kitchen, then, you know, you know how to command a kitchen. And if you're a woman trying to, you know, maintain quality or get what you want in a kitchen, then you might be called the B word.
Yeah.
Or you might, you know.
How do you handle that? I mean, you do look very young. You know, you
That's
just
really
said
tough.
Somebody thought you were the intern. How do you
right.
command respect?
It's a process, honestly. I mean, I'm certainly not perfect at, you know, always having the most confidence. I mean, I think it's just a journey and I try to, you know, get better at acceptance and, you know, I can't change the fact that I look young or that my voice might sound like I'm 10. You know, it's a matter of accepting yourself and trying to build confidence every single day. Yeah, I mean, definitely like seeing other women, what they're doing, and also having, you know, great friends and role models. And I think that's so important. I feel really inspired by other people.
Well, I think you're inspiring a lot of people, too. We couldn't be happier for your success.
Oh, thank you.
So now it's time for the speed round.
Oh.
Did you write questions?
Coffee or tea?
Does Chloe know there's a speed round?
Oh, no.
So the idea behind this is just answer the questions quickly.
Okay.
And shortly.
Okay.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
What do you drink?
Matcha. Panettia matcha.
Good choice. What's in your refrigerator right now?
Like 40 bags of chocolate chips.
Oh, okay. Chocolate chip is in by Chloe's future, I guess. What are you craving? What foods are you craving right now?
Pizza.
Is there anything you absolutely will not eat? Besides meat? Anything?
It's a long list.
I eat everything vegan.
Favorite drink?
Ooh, hard cider.
What's your favorite kitchen tool?
Oh, definitely the mini offset spatula.
What's your work-life balance like these days?
Horrible.
What's your dream pet project?
Say that again.
Dream pet project.
Ooh.
Could be a literal pet project.
Maybe. I don't know. I'll come back to that one.
Okay. Where do you want to travel to next?
I'm looking at pizza right now, so I'm going to say Italy, but that just came right to my mind.
All right, that's it.
I think you've been working too hard.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. My brain is fried.
When you can't even pick a vacation off the top of your head, that just means you're working really hard.
What's that question? Beach or mountains or forest or whatever?
Oh.
Are you a beach girl? Are you like...
Okay, I'll say beach. I will also tell you I'm the most indecisive person you will ever meet. That was the most stressful game I've ever played in my entire life.
Well, sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
You did a good job. Don't worry. But seriously, when's the last vacation you took?
Well, I went home to visit my family in California over the holidays. So that was kind of a vacation. It was also my brother's wedding.
Aww.
So, and I cooked all the food with my mom. And made my first wedding cake.
You were the caterer, too? That's not a vacation.
That is not a vacation.
But it was awesome. He's marrying married a wonderful girl who's also vegan. So they were super appreciative of everything, and it was a lot of fun.
That's a nice wedding
That was
gift.
Not a vacation. I'm sorry. I'm failing terribly on all these questions.
Well, you're not failing at all. So again, congrats on all your success. Thanks for coming out and being on Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you, guys.
We're super excited to see you on April 10th at Jubilee. Everybody who's listening, if you would like to win two $25 gift cards to buy Chloe for you, and you can bring a friend, check out our giveaway post today on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is Cherry Bomb Mag, and thank you to the Buy Chloe team for giving us those gift cards. And big chocolate kisses to our sponsor, Ecole Chocolat. Check out the different classes they offer at ecolechocolat.com. If chocolate is your passion, you just might want to make it your profession.
Bye, everyone.
You're the bomb.
Erica Chu, and I'm the owner of Unit Barbecue in Northern Tiger. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You know who I think is the bomb? Ann Redding, because of everything that is Uncle Boone's.